always what it comes down to is being, you know, when you start to become bored with what you're doing, that shows on stage. It really does. I've noticed, I'm like, why am I not doing good right now? Like on stage, why am I not killing it like I was a year ago? And it's because I'm not having fun, and the audience can see that, and they're not going to have fun with it. So I think it's really important to just have fun up there because it shows. Yeah, it definitely shows.
Hello and welcome to the Between Dreams podcast. I'm Chris Ruggiero. I'm your host. I get the most amazing, inspiring, intriguing, motivating stories from people from around the world and bring those stories directly to you. Every week we're back with a brand new episode with a new guest. This week's guest is Joel Ward, who is an international touring magician. So I was excited to get Joel on the podcast because we ended up meeting a handful of months back. We did a performance together and then another performance just a few days ago that we did together. And he has some great stories and inspiration and just, as always, a great guest to share this knowledge with you guys. So thank you so much for listening and supporting and sharing and everything that you guys have been doing. Again, I say this every week, the numbers continue to gradually increase, and that is thanks to you guys telling your friends, sharing on Facebook, and doing all the great stuff that you're doing to support the show. As always, keep doing that. You can listen anytime for free, podcast app, Stitcher, Google Play Music, iTunes, or you can head to the website, which is chrisruggiero.com/podcast. And we would love for you to check out patreon.com/betweendreams. See, we need your help. It takes a tremendous amount of time and money. The gear, the hosting of the files, the time and the websites and all those things add up. And we need your help. If you head over to patreon.com/betweendreams, you can find out how you can help make this show continue to happen. What we're suggesting is $1 per episode. That's it. That's just $4 per month. That's like a cup of coffee. In Los Angeles, that's like half a cup of coffee. So if you, and again, the show will always remain to be free for everyone to listen to. We're never going to make it where you have to pay to listen. The show will always be free on all those places that I just mentioned. But if you are able to, and if you find that you're getting so much value, we need your help. So I'm asking for your help. If you can do it, do it. If not, keep listening for free. You can help by just telling your friends. You can tell your friends, hey, listen to this awesome show. It's free and it's awesome. So, okay, that's enough of that. Thank you again for listening. We're going to get into this episode with Joel Ward. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Joel for joining me. And here we go.
It's Joel Ward.
Yo,
he's
yo.
He's a magician.
What's happening?
So people have a certain thing that they have in mind when they hear that you're a magician.
Top hat.
Yeah.
Tuxedo, tails, how doves, you, rabbits.
And that's not what
beautiful
you...
Beautiful assistant, and then chop her in half and just stab her to death, right?
Oh, yeah. That went a little different.
Yeah, well, it went a little dark, but like, don't you think that like most magicians like abuse their assistants on stage? They're like, ooh, it's magic. We're going to cut her in half and stick swords through her. It's like, what is wrong with you?
Right.
Like, what are we trying to...
While I stand over here safely.
Yeah, what's, like, the story? Like, what are we trying to say? I hate women? I mean, yeah, it's a very old school approach. I don't know. I find that kind of funny.
Yeah, and I was going to finish that by saying that's not the style that you do.
No,
or
I do not.
Or what you look like or portray.
Yeah. Exactly.
So what, for people that haven't seen you, what is your, what instead of that description?
Right.
What description do you want people to walk away with from your show or your, you know, vibe of what you do as a performer?
Yeah, I try to be like a very approachable magician. I want people to feel like they can come up to me and just like have a conversation with afterwards. Yeah. I wouldn't really say I like come off as like a like magician vibe. Like people don't really come up to me and be like, wow, like they don't ever feel like that I'm actually like a magician. Like they're like, wait, you're not like a magician. Like you're just like a normal, like San Diego surfer dude. Like,
yeah.
So I don't know. I kind of use that, you know, as like my character on stage to kind of just be kind of more laid back. And, you know, I laugh with the magic. I don't let it, I don't, I'm not serious. I'm not like, I'm going to make this bill levitate and, you know, and use the powers of my mind. Like, there's none of that. Like, yeah. You know, I don't think the audience takes any of that, you know?
Yeah. That's something for myself as well, going into, I think a lot of times, especially we were talking about young performers just now before we started, and I think a lot of young performers or starting off performers care a lot about the tricks and these things and what their tagline is and this thing is.
Yeah, definitely.
And how you just said, it's kind of more important. This is something that I try to focus on, is like, what if I'm just me?
Yeah.
Not a juggler.
Right.
Or, you know.
Or a magician,
If I'm just, what if people are coming to see Chris Ruggiero?
Yeah.
Or what if people are coming to see Joel Ward instead of this, like, thing that they're coming to see?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's an important, I think, distinction of, because it's really not about the tricks that we do.
Right.
Or the, you know, you have to be good.
Right.
That's
right.
Kind of a given.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
then
yeah.
There's also this thing of, okay, but then people are coming to see you. They want to be a fan of you.
Exactly.
So I think that's a really, we started off that with a really cool thing. And then going back into things that you've been, so you've performed all over the world on in front of live audiences, and also you do a lot of TV appearances.
Yeah.
Do you want to share, let's have a moment of bragging.
Okay.
For, probably like TV is probably the most brag-worthy.
I guess
stuff.
So. Yeah. I mean, you know, I've been living here in LA for almost 10 years. So it's like, you know, you live in LA and it's like, oh, wow, you do so much TV. How do you get it? It's like, well, I live in LA.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
this is just their business here. Like,
right.
You know, the neighbor is a producer and your other neighbor is a director. And, you know, that's just sort of the people you network with and meet at the grocery store and stuff like that. But, I mean, tons of television opportunities.
It's so awesome to live in LA.
It's
four
terrible.
People just moved here.
Right, right.
Four magicians just moved here.
Gosh, dang it. That's exactly not what I wanted to happen. Oh my gosh, competition.
Where does he live? I'm going to go to that grocery store.
It's the Ralph's off Magnolia, North Hollywood. Don't get shot. Yes. There's a helicopter every night. After midnight, don't go outside. I mean, as far as like TV goes, like I've been part of the Magic Castle since I was 15 years old. I was a what you call a junior member. And I think I would take the train up from San Diego once a month to go to these meetings. And I would meet a lot of the magicians and I would network with these magicians. And then I started performing there during the junior week at the Magic Castle. So I would do like a week on stage at the Magic Castle. And so I started like networking and meeting a lot of people up there at an early age. So, so that was pretty cool. So yeah, I mean, as far as like TV goes, I had like a magician friend who was working, as an entertainment director, slash like, you know, assistant with Jay Leno, for the Tonight Show. So he came and saw me like work with Doves one night at the Magic Castle, and the next morning I was fresh in his mind. He's like, "Oh, we need a Dove magician for the sketch we just wrote today. Can you be here tomorrow morning?" You know.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, little things like that. It's just like, you know, they see A and it goes to B, and you know, it's just kind of like connecting dots, I feel. But yeah, I mean, there's tons of little TV projects that I'm not good at bragging.
Well, that's possibly more interesting what you just said of someone sees you do this thing and they happen to work on a TV show or not or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Oh, but I have this idea."
Yeah.
And then, so I think so many people see showbiz in general of like, there's a way, there was like a formula. And maybe that's how it was in the old school way of like, this one person wrote this thing and then found this person to fit that thing.
And
but
then,
now,
and then they blew up. Yeah,
it's
now
like somebody, maybe it's the result of just so much content being needed to be created every day.
Yeah.
That someone's like, "Oh yeah, that'll work."
Yeah.
And then, so it comes down to, so relate that to what people that are listening can be doing is like, if you are a creator, which most of the people that are listening are in some way, and everyone, I guess, is in some way, you're creating whatever it is, even if you're not in showbiz or whatever.
Yeah.
Just do something, keep doing stuff. That's what I keep, when people, oh, how's it going? Ah, I keep doing stuff.
Yeah.
And then that's the key. So you keep doing stuff, and then most nights no one's going to see you that is going to give you an opportunity.
Right.
But one out of 10 nights, there's going to be somebody, or that person knows somebody else that knows somebody else.
Exactly.
Or like 5 years later, it's going to, some weird like thing is going to be, and they're like, oh, how did you get this? Oh, well, 5 years ago, I did this show that I thought no one saw me at.
You know, I find that most of, like, my big successful, like, runs or gigs have happened, like, I planted the seed 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I get the call. I'm like, what? Like, that was 5 years ago. Like I totally forgot about this.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, I call it farming. You know, it's like when you, like, just go plant your seeds. And sometimes it takes years and years and years for those relationships to develop and stuff. But I think it's crazy how that works. But I think going back to creating content and like doing stuff, like that's so important.
Yeah,
to be out there and be fresh in people's minds. I heard that our like human minds, we can only like think of like 50 people in our Rolodex at a time. Mm. So it's like, you know, we only have like 50 people, and if you're not in that person's mind, you're not one of those 50, then how do you get to that point, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that's always fascinating, you know?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of specifics from my stuff that I've done, and just, well, yeah, I think for podcast stuff, I started doing the podcast that we're listening to right now, and it was something of like when I had 12 episodes out or less, you know, I kind of had 12 friends in my circle that those were easy.
Yeah.
And then I start to hit 12, 15, 20 episodes and I'm like, I'm running out of friends.
Yeah.
That I specifically like can like text and be like, hey you want to basically help me out? Like there's not going to be like a whole lot in it for you because, you know, we're just starting. Now we're up in the 50s, going up into 60 episodes, which is still kind of not that many. But now that I'm seeing this interesting thing happen of way more people are saying yes when I hit them up, like people that I have no idea. I'm like hitting up managers and like PR people and they say, oh, yeah, this looks great. And it's just because I kept doing stuff.
Yeah, totally.
And there's this illusion of like, if you do things for more than 50 times, people are going to think it's good.
Right.
Without even checking it out.
Yeah.
So that's like another thing of,
I need to learn that on stage, you know? If I do like the same card trick 50 times, like, am I good? No, I don't know. Yeah.
Just over and over. Right.
Wait, I think I saw that one. It's not that, oh God, he's going to do the same trick again. You know, and by the 50th time, they're like, wow, he's the best card magician I've ever seen in my entire life.
After 52 times, you don't even have to do it right.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it'll be right once.
Exactly. Yeah, that's so funny.
52 magicians will think it's funny.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. I think that there is something there. And I also think that there's something, if you don't quite know a person and you're asking somebody that you've just met, and you're like, hey, I do this like podcast. Do you want to be a part of it? I think more people would be inclined to say yes after that 50 point, even if they don't know you, because there's like this intrigue, like this idea that, oh, it's like something new. I don't really know them. Maybe I'm going to learn something too, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's what it really comes down to, is just like kind of learning things from each other, like during conversations, you know?
Yeah.
That's cool.
So switch gears a little bit into, most people see a entertainer and think, the first thing they think, oh, you get to travel all over and see amazing places, which is true. There's also another side of that is not as glamorous as it sounds. We'll get into that maybe if we want a little bit later. But first, what's the coolest spot or place that you were able to visit because of being a performer?
Well,
like a couple of them. I know the ultimate is hard.
Yeah, the ultimate. I mean, it is kind of true as far as like traveling goes. Like, I just got back from Colombia. I was down in Cartagena a couple weeks ago for a friend's wedding, and you know, I got invited because, you know, he asked me to you know, perform during the reception. Mm-hmm. And so that was really cool. So, I mean, I was in Colombia. Like,
yeah.
I would never buy a ticket to Colombia, right. like, on my own time, you yeah. know? So that was pretty cool. I love South America. I've been to Brazil and Florianopolis and Rio de Janeiro and Sao Paulo. And that whole part of the world is just, like, really fascinating to me. And yeah, I mean, I've been all over Asia as well. I think Macau is a very interesting place. Have you been to Macau?
No.
Oh, it's like, imagine entertainer
stories. Yeah. It's crazy.
Imagine like Asian Las Vegas, but quieter, less drinking, but like 50 billion times more money. Like,
right.
like Vegas looks small and like cheap.
Yeah.
Like compared to Macau. Macau is like real money. Like you go into the casinos and it's silent and people are in suits and ties, not drinking, smoking like crazy, yeah. but gambling as a business.
Right.
And it's just a trip. It's just like the craziest huh. thing I've ever seen. So that's kind of weird, you know, see everything like the MGM in Chinese, you know,
right.
it's exactly the same, but it's like everything's in Chinese. Yeah, Korea is a really cool place. I've performed in Seoul. Have you been to Korea
no.
before? Oh, Korea is awesome.
I've been,
like,
my like travel has been mostly in the U.S. and then
okay.
like a couple weird international ones,
oh,
like
cool.
just like a handful of weird.
What's a weird international one?
People listening will know this, but I did like a military tour and we went to Diego Garcia, which is a private military island in the middle of the Indian Ocean.
What? Oh, that's cool.
So you can't go there. Like,
yeah.
there's no flights there.
Oh,
you
yeah.
have to be on a private military flight,
oh,
like
that's awesome.
From a military base in Singapore.
No
is
way.
The only, there's one plane
so
that
goes
there. So
you flew into Singapore and then took a military plane from Singapore to this island?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And it was like pretty sketchy
because yeah.
you're on this, like, you think, oh, that's...
It's
but you're
choppa.
On like this
Get
weird.
On the choppa.
I feel like there's no regulations on military planes.
Oh yeah,
like there's
right.
not like the no because you're not flying out of an airport.
Don't fall out. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It
yeah.
was like it's like an old plane that's
right.
like repurposed from
oh,
something.
God.
They're like, yeah, we just need to get the entertainers to the.
Oh, take the Dodge Pinto. Yeah,
yeah. yeah.
We don't
like when there's still the cigarette ashtrays in the seats. Then
okay.
you know you're a little bit, like, there's a little bit of a concern. Like,
right.
any new
right.
commercial flight, like, there's no ashtrays
right.
anymore.
Right, exactly.
But when they're still in those, you're like, oh,
you're
boy.
Like, oh, wow.
This hasn't been
this
updated
is,
in a
is,
few years.
from Vietnam. Okay. I did a military show once in the Balkans. I was in Kosovo at I went to the NATO base and also the U.S. Army base. And that was really cool because... I mean, first of all, it was really awesome performing for,
yeah.
you know, service people who never really, you know, get much, you
yeah.
know, and like they're kind of, you know, trapped still fighting this war that,
right.
you know, they're like, what are we doing here? But my favorite, like the highlight of that was I got to go meet the police dogs and they put
yeah.
me in one of those fat suits
mm.
and they're like, run. And I just ran and this police dog just attacked me. And
yeah.
that was pretty fun.
Yeah. yeah we they had a canine training unit there at the island I was on too, and I was with Vargas Mason. He's a stand-up comic. He was on tour with us, and he had that. This is an interesting story, I guess. He did that, but he got like he like when he fell. When so the dog tackles you,
yeah.
But when he fell, like you're in a the dog can't hurt you, but you can
right.
still like hurt yourself by falling
oh,
down.
Yeah, 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 of course.
And he like twisted his knee.
Oh, no.
But like tour is whatever
oh,
it was like
no.
some weird thing and he was in like Africa military base, you know, some weird place.
Oh no, that's terrible.
And they were like, you know, one of the things on our on the military base that I was on, there's like doctors kind of, but they're not, it's not like a hospital, it's like
right.
they can kind of
like
keep you alive maybe
yeah
if something. And then there was the speed limits on the whole island were like 15 miles per hour.
Oh man.
Because they're like, you cannot get in a car accident because we can't fix you.
Right.
Because there's not, you know, it's like
yeah.
something you don't think about.
Right, right, right.
Anyway, he did the dog thing. They put him in, you know, put the stand up comedian or put the magician in the
right.
dog thing. Let's
right.
watch him, yeah.
Right. Let's watch him get, like, oh, so, that's funny.
And he, like, twisted his knee and they had to helicopter him. It took him, like, 2 days or something, because they had to helicopter him to somewhere else in Egypt or something, and then like
oh,
wait for the plane, and you're dealing, you know, like on their time, like And it took him like, and then he had to go like, come back to LA and go through like emergency surgery.
Jesus.
And then we're back on this island. He's like, I'm not going anywhere near those dogs.
Wow. Oh my God.
Like, such a crazy. I was like, well, you don't think about that. Sometimes when you're traveling, like we take it for granted.
Yeah.
That we have.
We can like,
just get fixed.
Yeah.
But if there's no planes leaving.
Yeah, exactly.
When the base I was on, we were there for like 2 weeks. We only did a couple shows. But they're like, there's no planes.
Right.
You can't go anywhere.
Yeah, totally.
Like, till the next plane comes.
Right.
In 13 days. And then they're like, if that day has, like, storms or something, the plane's not going to come. It's not going to be delayed. That trip is just canceled.
Right.
It'll be back in another 13 days.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're like, it's happened before that entertainers are there for an extra, like, 2 weeks. Because we're not going to bring a rescue helicopter. Like, that's...
Right.
You wait for that plane, or there's, like, an emergency
right.
rescue helicopter that
oh,
comes. And that's just not,
that poor
not gonna happen.
Comic.
Anyway, that was a funny...
Vargas, huh?
Funny. Vargas. Yeah, I don't know if
he'll never be hired back. Yeah. That guy cost us so much money.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It cost us like $100,000 right. probably.
We'll never bring back Vargas.
He did
maybe
again.
Circus
he
Vargas,
was on
yeah.
the, he was on the other... He was on the one with me. Maybe they just felt bad for him. They're like, yeah, we'll give him some more work. Just don't let him in the dog cage.
That's so funny.
Speaking of... I guess that's a good segue. We're into... The next side of that, what's something that maybe not a brag-worthy travel moment or travel experience? Or I think that's always interesting to hear about the horror stories.
The horror stories. Well, I was performing in Nagasaki, Japan. There was a Magic Castle Presents-style show at this nightclub. At this, I'm going to butcher the name. I can't, my Japanese is really poor, but it's something like Hostenbosch. It was like a Dutch themed amusement park. And in it, they had this like little club set up. And I was working with like three other magicians, and we would take turns doing like close up magic, like close up shows, and then also like a show on stage. And we would do six shows a day. And this is the last day I've been there for like a month. This is like my 100th show. And I'm on stage doing an act with my doves. And I have these like headphones and like an iPhone. It lights on fire and I toss it out. And a dove comes out and flies back to me. Well, that's what's supposed to happen. So the headphones are made of flash string. And the iPhone lights on fire. The gimp goes off and it drops. And it touches the edge of my headphones. And the headphones light up like a fuse on my face. And it's like immediately stop, drop, and roll, right? Because you're on fire. So my face is like getting really hot. So I stop, drop, and roll. In the meantime, all the doves start flying out, you know, from their hiding places. And the Japanese audience is just horrified. They're like freaked out. Like I feel like I'm on fire. Like I feel like my hair's like burnt. Like my eyebrows are singed. Like, so I like get up and I go like, ta-da! And then I just continue on with what I can for the act, and I power through like a 15-minute set. And then afterwards, they take me to, you know, like their, you know, Dutch-themed amusement park nurse, which is like basically an office with like Band-Aids.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're like, oh, here's some Neosporin and a Band-Aid. And I had these two big scars on my face for like 6 weeks. Like, I didn't think they were going to heal, right? I was like putting... you know, vitamin E oil on it. But at the airport leaving Japan, like everyone thought I looked like I was like Scarface. Like
yeah.
Everyone's like, oh my God, this guy's just got in a knife fight or something. like, so they were like kind of like scared of me. But that, I mean, it was kind of one of those moments where I was like, oh wow, like stuff can go wrong. Like,
yeah.
You gotta be careful. Yeah.
Right.
Fire. Don't mess with fire. Like, I
yeah.
feel like fire, I don't know, maybe for the juggler, like, juggling torches is cool, but I feel like fire with magicians is kind of like going out. Like,
right.
You know, just don't see it much anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it's just kind of, I don't know. And no venues allow it anymore.
Right. I was just going to say it's...
No, you can't do it on cruises. Like, most corporate gigs are like, oh, no, sorry, no fire in the ballroom. I'm like, what about a match? They're like, don't even light a match.
Mm.
So, I don't know. That's something to take in mind.
Yeah.
Kitties,
don't
play with fire.
Yeah. I was just on a cruise ship. It was like a weird one-off cruise line. And they were like, yeah, fire's cool. I was like, really? They were just fine with it.
Whoa, that's crazy.
It's like, and we had, you know, no fire marshal or, you know, it was interesting. What was this cruise line? I don't know if I'm supposed to. Maybe they're flying under the radar. No, it's like a one-off. It's not one of the big brands like the Bahamas Grand Celebration. It just was like a one. They have one ship that goes from West Palm Beach to the Bahamas every day. And we were going back and forth for a couple weeks.
Yeah, sweet.
We were just like kind of had fun with it. We were just rocking out.
Nice.
Otherwise, it's like I've done casinos and stuff where I have to juggle fire, and it's like meetings with fire marshals.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, it's a nightmare.
So, yeah, people that are getting into juggling the magic, and, try to come up with something that's
non-fire. Not
based on
lighters and fire. Yeah, exactly.
Because it's a pain, and it's getting worse and worse.
Yeah, and you just can't do it anymore. Yeah, totally.
No one wants to deal with you doing that. Let's go kind of switch into more of maybe the background of, I don't know what the best way to describe it, but kicking in. So again, for people listening, there's a lot of people who want to try something. For me, it always comes into my theme on all the things that I'm doing is always this idea of just go.
Mm-hmm.
Jump in, make things happen because...
Yeah, totally.
We, you know, especially with whatever people are doing, so many people, I've heard so many, frustratingly amount of people, I just made that sentence up, a very high number of people, enough to get me frustrated about it, that say, oh yeah, I'm going to start doing this thing as soon as I'm ready, or as soon as I have budget for it. And that could be that could be skills, that could be confidence, that could be,
I also feel like that's a roadblock, and like that's just like an imaginary roadblock that we create, you know, ourselves. And yes, I mean, of course, maybe it's not imaginary if, you know, oh, I want to do this and I don't have this, so I can't do that. But I feel like just doing it, like you said, like I'm very much like that with you. And I'm basically just kind of jump in and, you know, like, oh, who, like, how would I get, like, let's say I want to perform on this one show and it's like, here's the producer, you know, just email him.
Yeah.
Well, why not? What's going to happen?
Right.
Is he going to say no?
Yeah.
Yeah. He says no. Great. You're still in the same exact spot as you were before. You know, before, yeah. I mean, it's just this fear of rejection, I think. And I think that's like in entertainment, like rejection is going to happen all the time. Like 99% of it is rejection.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the constantly doing that's going to get you through, you know?
Yeah. And now on the other side of that, there's so many people who are thinking, again, we'll go back into this, maybe it's this mindset of old entertainment. They've heard these stories of their heroes having to get an agent or whatever it might be, get an agent or get a book publishing deal or get whatever it is.
Right.
And now that's not real, but there's YouTube and there's podcasts and you can produce your own show, you can do whatever. And I think that's what people are still stuck on, this thing of waiting for the quote gatekeepers to let them in, and they're, instead of building something of their own.
Yeah.
And that's so relevant, I think, to us, because especially if the variety stuff, there's less things that are going to happen, there's less people that are going to give us something.
Yeah, exactly.
Without us, you know, if we create something that they want, then they're going to be like, oh yeah, we need you.
Yeah.
You know, so, but it all starts on that thing of starting yourself. Do you have any specifics, maybe stories or opportunities that came up because you said, screw waiting for someone else to let me do this, I'm going to do it myself. And then because of that, it turns like maybe it's something based on the, what you said, you perform that thing and then somebody from a TV show sees you.
Yeah, definitely.
You could have sent stuff to TV shows.
Oh, yeah.
Your whole life.
Right.
Like emails or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Not that sending email, like, as you said, that's fine. But sometimes it's just getting out there and doing it yourself, and then someone will see you. So you have any other kind of specifics on that?
I mean, like, it's kind of funny that you say that, like, as far as, like, waiting, like, for example, like, cruise ships. When I first started doing cruise ships, I was told you have to have a cruise agent to get cruise gigs. So I finally got a cruise agent. And then the next day, I got an email from the entertainment director at Disney Cruise Lines saying, hey, we want to book you. Like, it was like a thing that I could have totally booked directly with and not had the cruise agent. And then I find out after that that a lot of cruise agent or cruises are now booking direct, you know? So it's just kind of funny that, you know, like, you know, these ideas of these roadblocks that are put up are sometimes just, you know, creations in our own minds. I think the perfect analogy is from actors' point of view. Like, my girlfriend's an actor and she deals with this every day. But like, actors, like, you have to, like, have an agent to get in the door to do this next thing. But, you know, like, there's this girl, Miranda Sings. Have you heard of her? Like, she does, like, these YouTube videos. And, like, she's just, like, a local girl who I've known for a while. And, you know, she got big on YouTube, which created, you know, a Netflix series, you know? It's, like, it's kind of amazing that, like, without her creating her own content, she would have never gotten her own TV show.
And she would have just been another person in the audition room.
Waiting. Is it my turn yet?
Literally waiting.
Is it my word? Is it my turn yet?
And now it's, like, she probably doesn't have to go to many auditions.
They're
coming to her.
Which is pretty cool.
That's a great, that's, and you see that everywhere. You see that with people who made it big on Vine. Like, Logan Paul is one of the people that I've been kind of half following along with, just amazed and inspired. He was a Vine kid. In college. And now he's in Hollywood. He's got, his face is in, like, downtown Hollywood on billboards.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
And he's got, like, you know, 8 million Instagram followers or something, more than, like, the quote celebrities, traditional celebrities. And it's like, no one really knows who he is, kind of thing. But then you're like, oh, but he's the one of the biggest people out right now. And it's like, because he was making funny videos on Vine.
It's amazing.
And now he's, you know, getting all these deals and everything. And it was like, he had a phone. He had what everyone listening has in their hand. And that was the tool. So if you say, if you're waiting to have, like, a better video camera to make your YouTube videos. You've already lost.
You've already lost because you just videotape it on your phone and create that content.
Or whatever. You know, it's like podcasts. I say this in almost everything. Like, you have everything you need. If you're listening to a podcast, some people don't. Some people in the world don't probably. If you're listening to this podcast, that means you're doing fine. Like, you have a computer or some sort of computer device that you can listen to something through the internet. You're like that. There's your benefit. You're probably better off than 99.9% of the people who have ever lived in history, because you have a phone and internet in your pocket. That you can listen to this.
It's so true. You know, it's just like, I love that. Just, like, get up and, like, do, like, create stuff, like, create content, and, like, and just make connections, you know, like, you know, pick up the phone, maybe call a person as opposed to, like, emailing them, or, you know, really sort of make those human connections. I think that's really important today, because we're, you know, we're going into this information age where everything is so solo, you know, like, we're so, you know, by ourselves with everything that we do. And, you know, the sort of communication and that sort of being around people, I think, is really important with business, you know?
So, moving forward, you kind of mentioned something that I wanted to get into before we started, with what you kind of on your personal journey this year, what you're working on. You mentioned something about handling frustration, I think is what you do. You want to kind of
I've been really fortunate the last 2 years. I've been working pretty solid for the last 2 years with very little breaks. And I'm tired. I'm really tired, and I'm bored, and I'm not happy with my performance at the moment. And I think part of what that is I'm tired, A. B, I'm not working on new material, so the material is not fun to perform anymore because I've been doing it for 2 years. And C, yeah, I don't have that sort of next thing in mind, you know, to be excited and inspired about. So I for me, I love close-up magic. I think close-up magic is the best type of magic because it happens up close. I feel like people can identify with it more as opposed to like stage magic. So I am working on a close-up act, like a close-up magic act that I want to perform in the close-up room at the Magic Castle. So, you know, it's a short, it's a simple goal. It's like 15 minutes of material, but it goes back to my roots of doing sleight of hand magic and being able to create something in a super small environment. So I'm really inspired and excited about that. It gives me something to kind of work on and like a goal, and I have to come up with like a basically an audition tape to mm-hmm. be able to perform that act because the entertainment director at the Magic Castle has never seen me perform that. So, you know, so it's like going back, you know, 15 years and going back to the audition point of performing at the Magic Castle for the first time because it's a new room. And that's exciting to me because it's there's that fear of like, oh, maybe they're not going to like it or maybe it's not good enough. And it's going to make me try hard and it's going to make me work and rehearse and practice. And so that's kind of, I think, always what it comes down to is being, you know, when you start to become bored with what you're doing, that shows on stage. Hmm. It really does. Like I've noticed, I'm like, why am I not doing good right now? Like on stage, why am I not killing it like I was a year ago? And it's because I'm not having fun and the audience can see that and they're not going to have fun with it. So I think it's really important to just have fun up there. Like, yeah, cause it shows. Yeah. It definitely shows.
Yeah. And that hidden, you can tie that up more. I think there's more in you for that, but just punch in right here. That's not for performers. That's for everyone. You know,
yeah,
I see
that's
so
true.
Many people,
yeah,
like
you're so
customer
right.
service people
yes,
that are just
so, right.
so miserable all day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, it doesn't. And I know that like a lot of jobs suck. All jobs suck if
right.
you are in that mindset.
Yeah.
Like, I gotta go, stupid Monday morning, gotta go back. Like,
yeah.
That's for people who like get yelled at all day in a customer service job, or somebody who's like a rock star.
Yeah.
Or a magician or juggler, whatever.
Right.
Like, oh, I gotta go do this stupid show that I don't wanna do. And it sounds crazy, but
right.
a lot of people who are having these dream jobs.
Yeah.
Are, I feel it sometimes. I'm
oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm like,
oh, it's raining.
I don't wanna go to this
yeah.
dumb
I have to
show.
Set up in the rain.
yeah. And there's. There, whatever the you know it, when you look when you talk about it, it sounds silly, but so everyone has that of complaining because it's
of
the
course.
Norm. It becomes work.
It becomes work, and it becomes normal, and becomes the job.
Yeah,
and I think I mean, for me, that's the red flag. That's the whoa! Like, why am I doing this in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I want the job. It's I'm doing it because I love to entertain people and make people laugh and make people smile and all of that. Like that's why I'm really doing it. So going back to that, I think it's easy to say, it's harder to accomplish at times, you know, especially when you're, you know, doing this, you know, for a long time. So
there's couple episodes back, Sean Emery talked about, and his wording was how he's survived. He's been performing for 25, 30 years. He survived, he said, because he never let his heart go cold or dark.
Yeah.
Of that thing of, sure, there's going to be bad, crappy shows
right.
or days, but overall, he gets to do this thing that he decided he wanted to do, and he's so happy and thankful for it that
totally.
Then leads to so many more opportunities because people see that he's enjoying it.
Yeah, for
sure. And that's what people want. Like,
oh, yeah, completely.
They don't want you to be having a crappy day.
No, not
that's
at all.
That's not what your job is.
I recently watched a thing on, like, Warren Buffett was interviewed, and he was talking about the same thing. Like, he was just like, you know, I'm so excited to wake up every morning and like read and learn. And to him, it's just fun.
Yeah.
It's just like a passion, and he's excited every day to do that thing. So, yeah, I think it's really important to kind of keep reinventing yourself and working on new things to keep that sort of creative, you know, happiness like flowing through you too. Yeah, to kind of further yourself, but it's super fun.
Cool. Let's tie this all together. I know the kind of, again, this usually happens. We bring the whole thing together throughout the thing, but people who are trying to go out and do something besides the general, get started, make it happen, don't complain. What's your, you know, 30-second, 1-minute take-home message for the people listening?
Yeah. Well, I get up off your feet and, like, make things happen. Those sort of fear of, I don't want to reach out to that person because I don't think I'm ready. Well, see if you're ready. They'll let you know. Yeah. The world will let you know if you're ready or not. And don't have that fear of rejection of them saying no, because that's not a roadblock.
Reject yourself before they do.
Exactly.
Don't do their job. That's their job to tell you no.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, even if they say no, you know, still work on it and still move forward, but get up and go, make things happen, keep learning, keep reading. Like, it's so important. I see this a lot in like entertainers is you also have to know like some business, and you have to learn how to answer a phone and return an email and not have typos. And, you know, there's a lot of business that you need to learn. So always constantly learn, you know, take classes, go, you know, take classes online, go to college, do all of that because it's super important. And, you know, be creative, have fun. Like, we're here to have fun. Like, yeah. Like, what else are we on this earth for, right? We're here to have fun. We're just big kids. Adults are just big kids who want to have fun and just like accept, you know, be accepted by other humans. And we just have to interact with each other. And if we're having fun, I feel like we're going to rub off on other people, and the more people are going to have fun. So cool. That's my 30-second recap.
That was good.
Bam.
And what people want to find out more about you, where do you want to send them?
You can follow me on Twitter, Joel Ward, at Joel Ward. My website is joelward.com. Instagram is at Joel Perry Ward. So between at Joel Ward and at Joel Perry Ward, you can find me.
Cool.
Sweet.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
And there it is. Thank you. You made it to the end. Thanks for listening all the way to the end. Thanks to Joel for joining on this episode. And just overall, a huge thank you to all of you guys and girls who have been tuning in. I don't know why I always say tuning in. That's like a funny old radio thing. You don't tune anything in. You click in. I'm going to keep saying tuning in. Thank you for tuning in to my radio show. We, again, keep sharing it. Keep telling people. We are making weekly episodes. Every week we're making episodes, and it's just so awesome to be able to share these messages with the world. And that doesn't happen unless you guys help out by sharing, telling your friends. And again, if you find $1 of value in these episodes, would love for you to go check out patreon.com/betweendreams. Find out how you can contribute just $1 per episode. I would say that's totally worth it, because that helps me continue to do the show and bring great content to you guys. So if you would like to do that, head over there and do it. If not, continue listening for free wherever you listen to podcasts. And we'll be back next week with another episode. Thanks again, Joel, for this episode, and goodbye.